Resample then automate approach for CPU relief, intermediate level. Let's go. If you've ever built a modern drum and bass session and thought, why is my CPU already crying? This is exactly the move that keeps you finishing tunes. Because the reality is, DNB sound design loves heavy chains, big unison reese, multiple distortions, modulation effects, oversampling, fancy reverbs, and then you try to automate everything across 20 lanes and Lev starts crackling right when the idea is good. So today's workflow is a repeatable system. First you design the heavy sound, then you print it to audio. Then you automate the printed audio in a way that still feels alive, but costs almost nothing. By the end, you'll have a rolling bass plus FX moments that feel arrangement ready. Filter sweeps for phrase changes, reverb throws on fills, gated stutters, pitch dips into transitions. And you'll be thinking in 16-bar and 32-bar drop logic like an actual DNB arrangement, not just an endless 8-bar loop. All right, step 0, set the project up like a DNB session. Set your tempo to somewhere between 170 and 175 BPM. I like 174 as a default. Then make a super basic drum loop, so your bass decisions are made in context. Kick on 1, snare on 2 and 4. Add hats if you want, but keep it simple. The goal here is not a perfect drum groove, it's a reference so you can judge weight, movement, and groove. Now step 1. Build a CPU expensive bass chain. This is the thing we're going to print. Create a MIDI track and name it Bass Design. Use Waveitable for a classic Reese approach, stock only. Set oscillator 1 to a sawish basic shape. Oscillator 2 similar, detune it slightly. Turn on unison with 2 to 4 voices. Don't go crazy yet, because wide plus chorus plus distortion can get messy fast. Add a little movement, map LFO 1 to detune or filter frequency. Sync the LFO rate to something musical like an eighth note or a quarter note. Subtle is the word. You want motion, not a siren. Put a low pass filter on it, LP24, a little drive. Good. Now stack a classic rolling bass toolkit chain after the synth. And yes, part of the point is that it's kind of too nice and too heavy. Add saturator, set it to analog clip. Drive it around 3 to 6 dB to start. Then auto filter, LP24, a little resonance for tone. Think 10 to 25%, not a whistle. Then a chorus ensemble or a phaser flanger for motion. Keep the mix low. In DNB, a tiny bit reads as expensive and wide. Too much reads as unfocused. Optionally add amp for mid aggression, but keep it controlled. Add EQ8, high pass around 25 to 35 Hz so you're not wasting headroom on rumble. If it gets muddy, look around 200 to 400 Hz, and throw a limiter at the end temporarily as a safety, while you design so you don't get random spikes. This limiter is not your final mix decision, it's just don't blow my ears off while I tweak. Teacher note, if you want heavier distortion without turning everything into fuzz, try a pre-emphasis trick. Before your distortion, use EQ8 and gently boost somewhere in the 700 Hz to 2K Hz region. Then after distortion, cut a similar amount in that same zone. You get aggression and presence without needing as much drive, and it often prints more consistently. Cool. Now step 2. Create a print track and resample cleanly. Create a new audio track named Bass Print. Here's the clean routing method. On Bass Print, set audio from to Bass Design. Set monitor to in so it listens live. Arm Bass Print for recording. Now loop a section, like 8 bars, and record. And here's a detail that separates clean prints from annoying prints. Capture pre-roll and tail. Start recording 1 bar earlier than you need, and stop 1 bar after. That way you don't chop the very first transient, and you don't lose reverb or delay tails that matter for transitions. You can always trim later, but you can't recover missing audio. Alternative method, if you're fully committed, freeze and flatten. Right-click the design track, freeze track, then flatten. That turns it into audio in one move. It's fast, but it's also more destructive, so I recommend the routing and record method while you're still exploring. Now step 3. Actually commit the CPU savings. Do not skip this. Once you've printed, deactivate or freeze the original design track. This is where people mess up. They print the audio, then leave the Waveitable monster running in the background and wonder why the CPU didn't change. A practical workflow tip. Color code design tracks and park them in a group called something like Print Sources OFF. Keep them for later tweaks, but keep them asleep. Before we automate, do a quick phase and mono check on your printed bass. Drop utility on the printed track temporarily. Hit mono. If the bass collapses in a bad way, you've probably got too much width from unison or chorus. For club-ready low end, try reducing width somewhere between 0 and 60%, especially if the bass has important low mid weight. You can still keep stereo character up top later with a separate band or texture layer. Now step 4. Automate the printed audio like a pro. This is the payoff. Automation on audio is cheap, and it's incredibly effective in drum and bass. On bass print, add a lightweight automation effects chain. Dock devices that are gentle on CPU, auto-filter as the main tone shaper. Utility for gain, width, and quick safety moves. A touch of saturator for phrase lift. Reverb, but used sparingly for throws, not soaked all the time. Simple delay for controlled dubby moments. EQ8 for cleanup. This chain is not about redesigning the bass. It's about movement and arrangement. Now let's talk phrase automation ideas. Think in 8-bar or 16-bar blocks, like you're building a drop. First move, low pass sweep into the second half of a phrase. On auto filter, automate frequency from around 250 Hz up to 2.5 kHz over 4 to 8 bars. That reads as energy rising without changing the pattern, or invert it. Start open and close it down before a fill for tension. Second move, reverb throw on the last hit of bar 8. Keep reverb dry slash wet basically off most of the time, like 0 to 5%. Then on the last eighth note or quarter note of the phrase, spike it to maybe 25 to 45%. If you want a bigger whoosh, automate decay time up just for that moment. This is a classic DNB move, because it gives you drama without adding new sounds. Third move, stutter or gate using auto pan. Add auto pan, set the shape closer to a square wave so it hard jops. Set rate to an eighth or sixteenth note synced. Then automate the amount, keep it at zero most of the time, and kick it on for one bar as a fill at 50 to 100%. Fourth move, a pitch dive into a transition. In the audio clip controls, automate transposition down 2 to 7 semitones briefly. Now the warp strategy matters. For bass, if your groove is already tight, try warp off and just edit clip start and end. If you must warp, use beats mode to keep transients clean and the low end stable. Save heavy tone warping modes like Complex Pro for special moments, because they can smear bass and also cost more CPU. Fifth move, microvariation with clip envelopes. Keep your big picture moves in track automation, but use clip envelopes for tiny accents, small volume nudges, small filter changes if you've mapped parameters to macros. This keeps the arrangement clean, because when you duplicate clips, the variation travels with the clip instead of cluttering your track lanes. Now step 5, turn automation into performance-friendly macros. Select your automation chain devices and group them into an Audino effect rack. Map key parameters to 8 macros, filter frequency, resonance, saturator drive, reverb throw amount, delay feedback, width, output gain, and a fill macro like auto pan amount. Teacher note, this is automation hygiene. One macro lane that drives a musical change is better than 6 separate lanes that you'll never want to edit later. And if you record messy automation, use the simplify envelope command to clean it up. Messy stutter automation can look cool, but it can make your session heavy to edit and visually unreadable. Now step 6, arrangement. Let's shape a 32-bar drop using printed automation. Here's a simple energy map. Bars 1 to 8, establish. Filter slightly more closed. Low densities of fills. Bars 9 to 16, open the filter, add a touch more saturation. This is your lift. Bars 17 to 24, introduce stutter fills every 4 bars, or add a contrast by briefly reducing brightness or stripping drums for a beat. Bars 25 to 32, peak energy. Bigger throws, a pitch dip into the next section. And here's an arrangement trick that costs nothing, negative space. Once every 8 bars, remove the bass for one beat, or duck it hard. Then let a throw or stutter answer that gap. The drop feels bigger without adding any new layers. Let's add a couple pro printing strategies from the coaching notes. One of the best upgrades is printing with intention, dry and wet stems. Instead of printing one all in bass, do 2 passes. A dryish print where your core tone is there, but time-based effects are minimal. And an effects print where you crank the chorus, flanger, reverb, delays, all the fancy stuff. Now later, you can automate the FX stem volume like a send return, but it's just audio. That's huge control for near zero CPU. Another advanced idea, multi-pass resampling for scene changes. Record 3 different 8-bar prints from the same MIDI, one darker and cleaner, one brighter and more driven, one with exaggerated modulation. Then in arrangement, swap clips every 4 or 8 bars instead of stacking tons of automation. It reads like the bass is evolving, but your project stays light and your automation stays simple. And if you want to get really nasty for fills, do audio to audio reprints. Make a new audio track called Bass Print 2. Route audio from your bass print track. Record while you go wild with pitch dives, redux, stutters, crazy throw automation. Then that insanity is baked into a single clip, and you can turn those extra devices back off again. Quick sound design structure tip that keeps DNB mixes solid. Separate the sub. Let the printed bass handle mostly mid character and run a separate clean sub, like a sine and operator, under it. Keep the sub boring. Sidechain it from the kick. Keep the mid bass sidechain a little lighter, so the groove stays rolling. And if you want movement without low-end wobble, do a mid-only movement trick. Foot the printed bass into bands with an audio effect rack. Keep the low band mono and steady. Put all the fun automation on the mid and high band. Width, filter, throws. That way you can automate aggressively without your low end turning into jelly. Common mistakes to avoid as you do this. Don't print too early. If it's not drop ready, you'll keep reprinting and kill momentum. Don't forget to deactivate the design chain after printing. Don't overwarp the printed bass. Warp can smear tone. Don't automate everything at once. One or two main evolutions per 8 bars is usually enough. And watch gain staging after resampling. Printed audio can come in hotter than you think. Utility is your friend. Leave headroom. Now a quick 15-minute practice run. Make a 4-bar Reese pattern on bass design. Add at least 3 CPU-ish devices like saturator, chorus ensemble, and amp. Print 8 bars into bass print with a bar of pre-roll and tail. Deactivate the design track. Then automate 3 things on the print: a filter sweep across bars 1 to 8, a reverb throw on the last half bar 8, and a 1-bar stutter somewhere in bars 5 to 8. Export a quick 16-bar loop and listen quietly. Low volume is a cheat code for judging whether the movement reads without wrecking the groove. Recap to lock it in. Design heavy, print audio, automate light. That's the CPU relief workflow. Resampling turns complex synth and FX movement into a stable, cheap-to-play audio clip. This audio version is shortened for playback.